Yeah, it's good to be back and spend a little time here studying the Word of God. I really love your worship service. It's very meaningful. I feel the Spirit of God here, and I love the fellowship that exists in this church, a beautiful fellowship, which is something we'll be talking about a little bit. I was reading through the book of Genesis. This is back a couple of months, and I saw a passage there that I wanted to develop someday, and with my wife, Martha helped me with the PowerPoint. Thank you, hon. And so I want to spend a little time, and it's the passage that I'm going to share with you and for us to look at this morning is on relationships. The importance of relating interpersonal relationships and in our home, in our church, in our work. It's really important how we get along. And so I want to begin with a story. And it's a story. It's a true story. It took place in Chicago during the Great Depression of 1929. And it was one of those depressions that lasted for 10 years up until 1939. And it's about two twin brothers. They owned a hardware store where they used to sell different products. And one day, one of the brothers was working in the front. He was working in the front, the cash register. He didn't have time to put a dollar bill, there was a $1 bill, into the cash register. He laid it aside while he went back to do some things. And when he came back up, it was gone. The dollar bill had disappeared. So, in his mind, he said, my brother took it. And he accused his brother of taking the dollar bill. Well, the dispute, I guess, it got so bad that they dissolved their partnership. A dollar back then was $14, right around $14. And what they did, they built a wall right in the middle of that hardware store. One brother worked on one side and the other brother worked on the other side. I'm going to come back to that story, all right? And we have something similar, not the same, but in our Bibles, in the book of Genesis, we have the story of Abraham and Lot and their herders. They were working and it says they were quarreling. And this is Genesis 13. And at verses 7 and 10, those are the verses I'm going to read. The quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot's. Verse 8, so Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So there in this passage, we have a quarrel that broke out between the herders of Abraham and those of Lot. And it tells us why there was lack of space. They were too close. They had grown. God had blessed them. We read in the book of Genesis how God blessed Abraham. And so they couldn't stay together. They had grown and it was causing quarrels, problems. So they decided to separate, go different ways. Now, you know, Abraham should have been the one to choose the better place, or at least choose what he wanted. Since he's the one that God called out of, you know, to follow him, and then Lot came later. But we see his spirit. He has a generous spirit, a good heart, and so he allows Lot to choose first. And the reason for that was that, and this is important, for Abraham, relationships were more important than lands, than possessions. He was more concerned about his relationship with Lot and his family. We read that in verse 8. He says, "So Abraham said to Lot, 'Let's not have quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives.'" Relationships are important. And Abraham knew how important it was to resolve and maintain good relations between Lot and himself. That was the first order of business. Let's not have any quarreling between you and me. He knew the importance of resolving differences on the one-on-one level. This is important. On the one and what? One-on-one level. Now, before you widen the circle, you know, if there's a quarrel, if there's something taking place, in this place it was between the herders, but the leaders were Abraham and Lot. And it was important for them to settle things and not quarrel. Sometimes we have to widen the circle, but it's important to keep it tight. It's important to do that. Why is that important? The reason it's important for us to try to, you know, figure things out, resolve things in the one-on-one level like we have here, is that every one of us has what are known as sympathizers. They'll line up with you no matter what. Relatives, friends, acquaintances, they'll line up with you. So Abraham knew, he knew that it was important to, for him and Lot, let us have no quarreling between you and me. And so that was important. So, for example, if I get in problems with somebody here, I not only get in problems with that person, but his family, his friends, all those that know him and trust him and have a relationship with him. That is very important. So this is an important principle to keep in mind. In young marrieds, young couples, it's important to keep the, if there's a dispute, if there's a difference between a husband and a wife, try to settle it there. When I was younger, I did a lot of counseling, you know, with young couples, and it's important. And we miss this step a lot of times. What happens is many times one of the partners goes to a family member or goes to someone, and then what happens? When you make up, they stay alienated. So it's so important, this principle of trying to work it out. If you can't, you know, if it's in the church, and if it's in a church, if you can't settle it, then you bring the elders. There's a process for it. You know, I remember when I started ministry many years ago, over 40 years ago. And I had a church. I went to a church where two leaders were in a dispute. I mean, they've been going for a while. And they were not getting along. And it was starting to affect the church. So I decided, I was quite young then, and I decided that I would try to resolve this difference that they had, the dispute they had. One of the leaders had been in the church for many years. The other one was not quite as long. And so it was on a Wednesday night. It was a prayer meeting. So I called him. I said, "You know what? I'd like for us to meet after prayer meeting. And I'd like for us to go to a side room. You know, we'll go to a side room. And I want to be there. We'll have prayer. We're going to, you know, resolve this as best we can." And so after that prayer meeting, I was dismissing the people. The congregate people were leaving. And so when I got to the room, I was surprised. The two ladies were not there alone. They had to sympathize. I mean, it was a room. Now, I was a young pastor. And but the mistake I made, I tried to settle this between the two persons. And there's, you know, their sympathizers were there. And so what happened, before long, there was crossfire. And it was, I mean, We have a little cartoon here, I think, yeah. Anyway, what happened was that I had a situation where I had a church that almost divided on me. And I called the meeting off. I adjourned the meeting. I said, well, this can't go on. You know, so it adjourned the meeting, and it took me a while. In fact, to bring harmony, to bring unity through communion services and one-on-ones, and because this person hurt that person. Oh, my. But anyway, so we need to resolve our differences, our disputes, on a one-on-one, like Abraham Lot. Let's not have no quarrel between you and me. You know, let's fix this up. And things seem to settle when we do that. They settle down. And so anyway, it says in Matthew 18:15, right? Our first principle is to fix our misunderstandings, our quarrels, in a one-on-one level. It says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between what? Between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. So important to remember this. Another virtue that characterized Abraham was that he was a peacemaker. And peace, oh, we love peacemakers. Love to have peacemakers in my church, especially in the leadership, elders and others. But in the home, it's important to have peacemakers. We find in reading Abraham's story, at least, we find that he was a peacemaker. And I'll tell you, God loves peacemakers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Mark 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called what? They will be called children of God. And then Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have what? Joy. They have joy. So it's so important. You know, this calls for heavenly wisdom. And Abraham had that heavenly wisdom. And we find that in James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then what? Peace-loving, considerate, submissive, in other words, humble and teachable, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, no hypocrisy, in other words. Peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Doesn't this wisdom describe Abraham? He was a peacemaker. He was peace-loving. He was considerate. You see that? He was considerate. He was humble. Submissive, humble. He was merciful. And good fruit. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Impartial and sincere. I don't know if you noticed in this passage, peacemakers, we see that peacemakers, it's mentioned twice. So peacemakers are very important to God. And good interpersonal skills begin with Jesus, don't they? They began with Jesus. He is called what? In Isaiah 9:6, the Prince of Peace. He is a peacemaker. And in Egypt, the Egypt-Israel Treaty Peace. Do we have that up there? Here we have the Egypt-Israel Peace Treaty was signed by Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin on March 26, 1979, following the 1978 Camp David Accord, Peace Accord. Now, these two men were bitter enemies. There had been a war. The two nations had had a 7-day war that Israel won and took some land. And these two men were able to normalize relationships by two warring nations, two enemies. They decided to take the high road instead and bring, and some believe that it really caused the death of Anwar Sadat, who was a peacemaker. But, you know, he had the courage to do it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let's strive to be peacemakers in our home, in our work, in our church. Strive to be peacemakers and bring peace to relationships wherever we serve. Now, what else do we learn from Abraham? He was a communicator, and that's so important in relationships. The essence of good interpersonal relations is good communication. Once Abraham was made aware of the situation and he assessed the situation, he spoke to Lot. He communicated with Lot what the problem. In other words, the herders were quarreling, but the real issue was there was not enough land. They had grown to the place, to the point where they could no longer stay together. He communicated what needed to be done. They needed to separate. They could no longer continue together. They needed to separate, go put distance between them. He was specific. Communication is so important. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. He communicated clearly as how to resolve the quarreling between the herders and move forward in peace. You know, it's important to mention, experts tell us, and this is from the Marquette University, they say that we communicate 7% with words, 38% with the tone of voice, how we say it, 55% with body language. It's very important when trying to resolve an issue. It's important, our words are important, but also our tone of voice and our body language. So we need to be careful that, you know, sometimes we might be saying something, our body language says something else. I notice that in committees. Sometimes a person is saying something and his body language is, you know, it's our body language says volumes. Right now, as soon as I came up here, I said, you knew a lot. And I can see a lot, you know, body language talks. And so we need to be careful with our body language. Don't be afraid to smile once in a while and you know, use a tone of voice, a nice tone of voice. And if there's a quarrel, we're advised to kind of soften our voice. How we say it, it's very important. And so let's keep that in mind. We need all three of these areas to keep in mind. So communication is very important, how we communicate in a quarrel, in a dispute, a difference. We're going to have differences at times with people, but, you know, we need to do it in a Christian way. Moving along, the Word of God makes clear, and this is very important, good interpersonal relations start within people. They start where? Within. The Bible puts emphasis on attitudes and characteristics of persons involved in disputes. In his first letter to the Corinthians and in Galatians, Paul divides people into three categories. How many? Three categories of people. The natural person, they are the non-believers who do not accept or understand the things of God. They are characterized by the deeds of the flesh, such as strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, fractions, and envy. Galatians 5:19-21. You know, a lot of times these people desire to bring peace or strive for peace, but their separation from God makes it almost impossible. I've been in situations like that. in other words, and then the second category is immature or young believers. Paul calls them infants in Christ. They have committed their lives to Christ, but have never grown spiritually. Never grown spiritually. And what happens in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-4, Paul says to them, well, I gave you milk, not solid food. They are Christians who are still fleshy and characterized by strife and jealousy. It gives a whole list of things there. The third category are spiritual people. They are spiritual people because they are connected to the vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're connected to the vine, when we're connected to Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifest in our lives. It brings forth Jesus Christ. We're connected with Him. The Holy Spirit brings forth a variety of fruit in our lives. These people are growing in the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, beautiful, isn't it? Peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we see these fruits in the life of Abraham. So the fruits of the Spirit, when people are transformed within, inside, there is a change in the outward behavior. A change in the outward behavior, this is also an important principle. Then comes peace between people. Both the internal and the interpersonal peace must be preceded by a commitment to Christ, which is followed by spiritual growth. Abraham was a spiritual person and was characterized by these virtues in his life. And, very important, the first fruit that we read in Galatians 5:22, the very first fruit is so important, and that is love. And, you know, to be able to love. And I see a lot of that here. You know, I can experience that. But love. Love is so important. We need to have love in our hearts. Jesus said, we are to love who? Our enemies. In Matthew 5:44, but I tell you, said Jesus, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. I have a famous quote here from Martin Luther. It says, love is the only thing that can turn an enemy into what? A friend. And this leads us to the biblical teaching about good relationships. The biblical teaching on good relationships. And they come as a result of, number one, a daily walk with Jesus. And the emphasis here is on what? Daily. A daily walk. We never know, like the psalmist says, we never know what a day will bring. We just don't. So it's important to connect. A daily walk with Jesus, a walk characterized by prayer, taking time for prayer with the Lord, communicating with Him. These are things you're aware of. Meditation on Scripture. Instead of reading right through Scripture, take time to meditate. Some call it SOAP, you know, like, what do you call it, acronym? Scripture. Take time. Don't hurry. Read Scripture. The O is for observation. Take time to look, get deep. What does it mean to me? And then the A for SOAP is application. How does this apply to my life? How can I apply it to me? That it'll be a benefit to others, not just me, but others. And then the P stands for prayer. Time for prayer. Okay, the biblical teaching about good relationships, they come as a result as But like we're doing today, worshiping together, singing together, praising together. That is so important. Reading scripture together, fellowshipping like we're going to do later. That's how we grow. And we form good relationships. And also a self-examination which leads to the removal. And this is only through God's help. Excuse me. The removal of bitterness, cynicism, and other attitudes or actions which could cause conflict. So these are important. And we know as humans that conflicts can be totally avoided. I believe that is why the Apostle Paul, thinking in these lines, he wrote the following inspired directive. If possible, he says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 12:18. Author Max Lucado, a well-known Christian author, agrees with Paul and says, conflict is inevitable, but what? But combat is optional. We choose to go into conflict or not. It's a choice we all have. Then the Apostle Paul, that's verse 18 that we read, he goes on, follows up with these practical rules of getting along, verses 19 to 21. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And he knows how to measure it, right? Says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Abraham and Lot were able to part in peace and remain in good terms because Abraham chose the high road. Those who do this believe that life is too short to keep score. Excuse me. The high road leaders like Abraham realize that God is better. God is better at providing for us than we providing for ourselves. That is so true. Lot's decision took him to Sodom, a place where he and his family experienced a bitter life. Abraham heard from God and received a wonderful promise of a blessed future. And we find that in Genesis 13:14-15. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had departed from him, I need a drink of water. Excuse me. I fight allergies. I have terrible allergies. Okay, let's see. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had departed from him, look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. God will bless us as well. He will bless us if we decide to be peacemakers and take what? The high road. Okay, returning to our story of the two brothers. Remember the two brothers? The twins? I don't want to forget. you know that they hadn't spoken for each other. I mean, they stopped for years. They broke their relationship, their communication with each other. One would work on one side of the store, another would work on the other. One day, a man walked into the store. A man walked into the store and said to the brother who had accused his brother, I need to return this dollar. And I need to explain to you, during the Depression, I was a drifter. I was a hobo. And I came in the store. I saw the dollar there. I took the dollar and left. Now, when the brother who had accused his brother hurt this man, and the man felt bad. He felt bad for what he had done. But it was during the time of need. And so the brother that accused his brother says, you need to come with me next door. So they went next door to visit the brother. The brother was a little surprised to see the brother coming in. with a man, and he asked the man, explain to him what you explained to me. So he did. And the twin broke down, the one that had accused his brother, because they haven't spoken for years, broke down and asked his brother for forgiveness. He asked him for forgiveness for what he had accused him falsely of taking that dollar, those $14, which would have been. Now, God is the God of mercy. He is a good God with us, isn't he? A God who loves and forgives. So we are to forgive others. It's not for our own good. I mean, it's for our own good. It's for our own good to forgive others. If someone has hurt us, if someone has treated us wrong, we need to be able to put those things aside and forgive others. Or else we become what? Bitter and regretful. Yes, we become bitter and regretful. I had a friend that became so bitter, he told his testimony with his ex-wife. He says, you know, I had to go to San Diego, and I stopped going to San Diego. I didn't want to go by where she lived. And finally, one day, because they had children, he decided to make peace. And they're both married, they have different spouses. And he says, he even invited me to my mother-in-law's, my ex-mother-in-law's funeral. They said, you're part of the family. They had really forgiven each other and had made peace. And the children from both sides hardly spoke with each other. Now they have a family that visits, that relates well to each other. Yes, forgive others. This is a quote. Yeah, forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve what? Peace. So yeah, it's so important. So let's do a little recap. Remember, these are dissolve issues or disputes at the one-on-one level. Be a peacemaker like Abraham. Be a good communicator. Try as best we can to communicate. And I forgot to say, in order to be able to communicate, you have to be a good listener. We have to listen. And before we speak, we what? We listen so that we can communicate. And communicate with a good tone. Communicate with good body language. And right words. And good interpersonal relationships start what? Within. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. Taking time for Him. And remember the biblical teachings about good relationships that we talked about. Also remember that forgiveness brings peace to our souls. It brings peace to our souls. And Philippians 4:13, I'd like to conclude with this promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We cannot do it on our own. We need Christ. And Jesus is there to help us. And so all we need to do is ask and He will give. Do we believe that? I think so, right? Yes, let's move forward in faith and God will supply the strength. He's a good God, a loving God, a caring God. God bless you. It's been good to be here this morning. I think I close with a word of prayer. Okay. Why don't we stand? Let us stand and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, so thankful that You're a God that loves peacemakers. You're a God that loves us to have good relationships. In other words, people are important to You, how we treat them, how we speak to them. And help us, Lord, to be able to communicate in Your language of love. Bless each one of us here today. And God, we pray for Pastor Munson. Be with him, his family. Be with all the leaders, the people in this church. For we ask in Christ's precious name, amen.